This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, hey, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm spreading the Friday cheer. I just tried to do it with Brad Heller. I don't know how cheerful he was, but I think there may have been a bit of a lilt in his voice after he responded with, "Happy Friday to you." It is a working weekend, though, baby. The kind of working weekend that I love. This is one of my favorite months on the entire sports calendar. I'll just be honest, it's a different kind of work than what I've been doing, what those of us who work in sports media have been doing the last 17 weeks, the last 17 Sundays. It's a lot to follow every game, every weekend in the NFL. And so I really relish these upcoming weekends, these next three, but even just these two specifically where we've got games on Saturday and Sunday, because I can focus. I can watch all of one game and not have to worry about what else is going on. And so it's like a pig in slop for me. That's this kind of weekend. I'm really excited. It's wild card weekend, and here we are on the eve of the NFL postseason, your Happy New Year gift from the National Football League. And I just keep thinking about all the ways this can play out and the endless possibilities. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On this Friday morning, we're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I did a unique playoff preview. You may not think that these NFL teams have a lot in common. You may not see the comparisons or draw any comparisons between the AFC and NFC brackets, but I actually had some fun looking at the seeds. The sixes, the fives, the fours, the threes, they're all in action this weekend. So I'd love it if you'd check out my column. Again, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or also on our Facebook page. It's pinned at the top of our page. And we got a couple of different polls. Our weekend football poll is still up and running. So that runs all the way through Friday. If you need more time to make up your mind about which game you're most looking forward to. But also, we've got a special Jason Garrett poll up. If I remember correctly, this is the second Jason Garrett poll, or the second poll in which Jason Garrett has been featured over the last couple months. No surprise, considering all of the speculation about the Cowboys head coaching job and whether or not Jason Garrett would stay or go. I say fly, Jason Garrett, fly. Go find yourself a fresh start. Maybe like a Mike McCarthy, take a year off, refresh. He is a football lifer, no doubt about that. And I am not in any way a believer that this is the end of Garrett. There are some people, and judging by our poll and by the comments on our Facebook page, there's some people who think Garrett's about to disappear. The earth is going to open up a hole and swallow him, and we're never going to hear from him again. That's not the case. There are football people, a lot of football people that I've talked to that I hear from who think he's a really good coach. A fresh start may be exactly what he needs, not just what the Cowboys need. Of course, not many Cowboys fans care about Jason Garrett's needs. It's a what have you done for me lately world, isn't it? The report came from ESPN's Ed Werder, who, if you don't know, is a longtime Cowboys insider. Going back to my days at the network, that's what he's known for. So you may think he's a national reporter, and I get why you would think that. But he's dialed into the Cowboys. He tweeted late on Thursday evening that Jerry and Stephen Jones are moving forward without Jason Garrett. That according to his source, Jason Garrett will not be part of the organization in the future. Now remember, he's under contract for only 11 more days. So the Jones family only has to allow that contract to expire. They were originally scheduled to have a third meeting in the week since the season ended. But that Thursday meeting got canceled. It did not happen. That was reported by a bunch of different sources. Edward, though, saying that right now the Jones family has made the difficult choice. And I do believe it's tough for Jerry. He likes Jason Garrett a lot. He says it over and over. He's, despite the public persona that we get, he's a very loyal guy. And Garrett's been with the organization going back to 1993, for heaven's sakes, when he was a player. And so I can imagine this is hard for him. Maybe he does look at Jason Garrett like he's a family member, like another son. And business and personal, when they intersect, it's emotional and it's challenging. We all know that. It's why there's this unwritten rule out there that you don't lend money to friends and family. Because business and personal, a lot of times don't mix. Or you've got business decisions, business choices pulling you one way and your heart pulling you another. The head and the heart aspect. So I don't have any trouble believing that's why it's taken this long. And right, it feels like it's forever, right? But it's been a few days since the regular season ended. Garrett, the second longest tenured head coach in Dallas history, but 4-8-8 seasons. Most recently, the Cowboys having how many opportunities to take control of the NFC East, and they just did not do it. They were on top of the division by default until week 16 when they lost that game against the Eagles. But inexplicable performances. Losses that make you want to bang your head against the wall, even if you're not a Cowboys fan. Just what are they doing? Wasting all this talent and opportunity. If Garrett is done in Dallas, his record will be 85-67. Five playoff games, 2 playoff wins, but never got to the NFC Championship. And I don't believe it's all his fault. That is far too simplistic. The players need to be accountable. And this is a veteran lineup. We're not talking about a rebuild here. And that's what I keep thinking about when people bring up names like Urban Meyer and Lincoln Riley. Urban, of course, being most recently of Ohio State. And Lincoln Riley, the hotshot coach for Oklahoma, though maybe that star not quite as bright since the pounding in the college football playoff. But that doesn't take away from what Lincoln's been able to accomplish. The thing is, the Cowboys are not in the midst of an overhaul. They're not tearing it down and starting fresh. No. They're in a window where they believe they can win and they can compete, which is why we heard Jerry Jones use the word disappointing so many times in the past month. That's why this is so hard, because it's missed opportunities. And while the expectations for the Cowboys are always high, by virtue of their profile, but also internally, this is a team that is not ever really going to tear it down and rebuild. That's not what the Cowboys do or what they would prefer to do. It's that whole adage of reload, not rebuild. But honestly, if they maintain even some, let's just say 2/3 of their roster, some consistency with their roster, and they definitely have a lot of personnel decisions to make, because nearly half their roster could hit free agency in the next month. Yeah, I got to look up that date. They have a lot of potential unrestricted free agents if they don't re-sign them. Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, others. But regardless of that, even with the uncertainty about the roster, we're not talking about an Arizona Cardinals that was tearing it down and starting fresh with a rookie QB with a bunch of newbies. We're not talking about the Giants closer to home in the NFC East, who are in the midst of a rebuild. The Dolphins, who are about to use all these draft picks to either make some trades or essentially to get a bunch of young talent. The Raiders, they just went through that. Still going through it. That's not the Cowboys. And so to bring in a college coach, to me, is a luxury that the team can't afford. They don't have time to wait for a college coach to get up to speed. They need a veteran coach with a track record, with experience, who's familiar with the Cowboys, even if he's never been part of the organization, but understands what it means to be a member of the Dallas Cowboys. But also a guy who can speak to these players as professionals. They don't need to learn him. I mean, they might need to get used to him. New voice, new leadership, new style. But his reputation would precede him. To me, it needs to be an experienced head coach in the NFL. Or one who's got that kind of experience. Now, those are few and far between, obviously. Ron Rivera has already been snapped up. Maybe it's a coordinator. Maybe it's someone else who's got a lot of years built up. And there's a bunch of different ways that teams have gone. If you think about the past, even the past couple of seasons, you don't even have to go any farther back than that. Sure, there have been some hires outside the box. And anybody who was associated with Sean McVay, that was kind of the running joke last year. Flavor of the month. Zach Taylor being one of those. And offensive coordinators have been popular hires. But we also had Vic Fangio finally gets a shot to coach at 60 years old, coming from the defensive side of the ball when John Elway hired him to be the coach of the Broncos. Bruce Arians coming out of retirement as a grizzled veteran to take the job with the Buccaneers. I don't know that Bill Cowher can be coaxed off of that TV desk. He likes his job. According to people who know him, that's not something he's willing to give up. It's stressful to be an NFL head coach. What about a Mike McCarthy? We know he's out there. He interviewed with the Browns. No doubt there's a high demand for him. Because again, there aren't many Mike McCarthys available. Another former head coach in Jack Del Rio has taken a job as Rivera's defensive coordinator. So there aren't a lot of experienced veteran head coaches who command a presence, but it doesn't even need to be a guy who has a lot of head coaching experience, but just someone who gets the NFL. Because the Cowboys need a sense of urgency here. They need new focus, new direction, not an overhaul. That's not what they're doing. But if Ed Werder's report is correct and they're about to let Jason Garrett walk and they're focused on moving forward, I do believe they can attract, I wouldn't say anybody they want because a lot of popular candidates are happy where they are. But I would think if the Cowboys come calling and offer you a job and you're available, you don't turn that one down. There's not many who would turn that one down, not only because of the talent they've got on their roster, but also because the money and the profile, the stadium, the facilities, you just have to be willing to work with a semi-meddling GM who will probably be more famous than you. It's a unique situation, but it's still the Cowboys. And I mean, let's be honest, there's only 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL. Even if you are a sacrificial lamb, sometimes you take the job just because. It's a nice plum to put on your resume. So we'll see. We'll see how quickly this domino drops. Meanwhile, Rivera introduced in Washington, and I'm ready to play for him right now. Jimmy Haslam has got a message about what the Browns are doing and who they aren't interested in hiring. And while Dave Gettleman stays put in New York, he's also got a coaching search on his hands. Whew, a carousel spinning furiously, even as we sit on the eve of the NFL postseason. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We've got a Jason Garrett poll. How many other specific individual polls do we put up? So one person with his own poll. We don't do that very often.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
First off, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. It's my favorite moment from Thursday in sports. Yeah, Dan Snyder, you do you, you be you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, part of the fanfare to introduce the brand new head coach, Ron Rivera. And I tell you what, after hearing Rivera, not that this surprises me at all, he commands a room. He is disciplined. He is focused. He is locked in. I now want to play football for Ron Rivera. It's all about building a winning culture in D.C. and believe it when he says that he can do it.
What the Redskins have needed is a culture change. Someone that can bring a winning culture to organization. And it starts and ends with our head coach. When looking for that man, I look for a class act. That's how you describe Coach Rivera.
Things will begin and end with one simple principle, discipline. I come from a military family where discipline, it isn't taught, it's lived. It's expected from day one. I have a philosophy that every player, every coach, everyone who works for this organization, they'll know it day one. You're not going to play for this team. You're not going to work for this team if you don't have the discipline and the commitment to give us everything you have.
Really? All in, but he makes you want to be all in. And if you know anything about Rivera, if you've listened to him, even his exit interview from the Carolina Panthers, how many coaches actually do exit press conferences? But he went back, he addressed his players. There's that kind of respect there with the organization and with his locker room. He preaches relationships. So he's not just talking at these guys in his locker room and his meeting rooms. He's talking with them. He's building relationships in which there is trust. He expects them to act as professionals. He expects them to be disciplined, but because he cares about them and because he is so passionate about what he's doing, not only does he inspire that kind of passion in others, but he has high expectations. He doesn't lower his expectations for the people around him. No, he cares about the people who are around him and he expects more of them. And you can hear him. It's just oozing out of this introduction in DC.
I told Mr. Snyder that I appreciate the fact that he believes the head coach matters. But I told him I would be honored, but under one condition. It had to be a player-centered culture. A player-centered culture, something I truly do believe in. My responsibility is to get the most out of the players, to work with them, teach them, mentor them. If I have to do it one by one, I most certainly will do it. I've done it in the past, and I'll do it again. I'll do what I can to help these young men become not just the players we want, but the men in the community we need. These are the guys that can help change things, not just on the football field, but in this world. And I really do believe that. I was fortunate enough to have that in Carolina, and I hope and I'm going to work to have it here in Washington.
No doubt. No doubt he can get it done. And I look forward to seeing that organization do a 180. Ron Rivera introduced as the new head coach of the Washington Redskins. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Also in the NFC East, the Giants are in search of a coach. General Manager Dave Gettleman keeps his job. He was a guest on our New York affiliate, WFAN. What is he looking for in a head coach?
I really believe that the head coaching position is a CEO position. It really is. In this day and age, you think of all the different tentacles, so to speak, of a football operation. So he's got to be CEO smart, you know, intelligent. He's got to be focused. And, of course, he certainly has to be a leader.
CEO smart. I love that. It took me a minute to figure out what he was saying, but now I got it. On WFAN in New York, the general manager of the Giants. Is it dawned on anyone else that of the head coaching openings, and there aren't nearly as many as there have been in the last couple of years, three of them, if the Cowboys reports are true, will come from the same soap opera of a division, the NFC East. Oh, my goodness. They could use some experienced head coaches. They could use a... some new leadership at those positions. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. When you think about the Cleveland Browns, they are the team that has kind of paced the field in the number of general managers, coaches, quarterbacks. It's been a revolving door over the last 20 years. And here's Jimmy Haslam, again, looking for a head coach. I know there's been a lot of talk about Urban Meyer, his ties to Ohio, certainly Ohio State. And that was one of the first questions posed to Haslam on Thursday.
Jimmy, is Urban Meyer a candidate?
Right now, we're just focusing on people with NFL experience.
That he is a candidate. Could you say it's not true, or is it true?
Tony, I think it's pretty clear what I said.
So right now, at least, Haslam appears to be changing his approach, changing his tactic. Now, it's not just him who's going to be part of the coaching search, but Mike McCarthy has already interviewed. There was reportedly an interview with Greg Roman as well. Something set up with Josh McDaniels of the Patriots. So Roman from the Ravens and McDaniels, of course, from the Pats. They want someone who's got NFL experience. I think that's smart because as much as Freddie Kitchens had a couple months as an offensive coordinator, there wasn't a whole lot of experience there. And they've made a living hiring guys who have no NFL experience or very little. Haslam is trying to explain what exactly they're doing there, changing coaches, changing general managers again.
If you look at the successful organizations that are consistently in the playoffs year after year, there is alignment within the organization, and they have the right people in the right place, coach and GM. And so that's what we're focusing on.
How the heck do you know it's the right people if you don't give them more than 9 months? Constant change equals constant losing in sports. And he's right. He's right to look at the established organizations who've got guys in place, but he's got to be the one who has some patience. Now, I'd agree that Freddie Kitchens was the wrong hire. I said it way back. I thought that they should have given Greg Williams a shot or should have been looking at an experienced head coach, something that would be different from what they had. But, I mean, you don't know if you've got the right people in place if you don't give them time to establish a system and to get the right personnel in. To get acclimated, they knew Freddie Kitchens had zero experience. This should not be a surprise to them. So Cleveland, Carolina, New York, and potentially Dallas looking for new head coaches now that the Redskins have filled their spot. We're waiting official word from the Cowboys organization.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Click, boom! Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom! I just laid down the A-law. Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
Boom!
So we got a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back. It's a grand slam! They're going crazy in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. Do you believe it?
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom.
Herbert. Punch to the right. Hand it off to Rudell. Kept it. Going to try to go outside. Straight arm. 25, 20. Foot race. 10. Are you kidding me? Justin Herbert has scored.
And that should be a flag.
It is a flag. A late hit after the score. Justin Herbert with a burst of speed to the right.
I just hope that we put up more points than the opponent, and whether it's through the air or on the ground, it doesn't matter who's scoring them as long as we've got more points at the end of the game. And the offensive line have done such a great job all year, and those guys don't get enough credit, and they deserve everything, and I wish them all the credit in the world.
Justin Herbert with three touchdowns on the ground and the quarterback of Oregon leading that stunning fourth quarter charge, a 30-yard touchdown run about midway through that fourth quarter against Wisconsin. A really exciting game in the Rose Bowl, worthy of the stage. And then you hear him after the fact. But his touchdown call with Jerry Allen on Learfield IMG, that's it's a sometimes a game that I feel like it's overshadowed by the pomp and circumstance, but not this one. It was a good matchup of Big 10 and Pac 12, and Herbert with this incredible performance, and then having to see the defense of the Ducks stuff Wisconsin to preserve that 1-point lead. Really fun fourth quarter and a good back and forth in the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not a whole lot of college football left, right? Now, generally, the past few years, we've had the national championship game on the Monday following NFL's Wild Card Weekend, but it's not this Monday. We have to wait another week. So this time next week, we'll be talking about the bye teams, the teams that are on bye, the ones in the two seeds in the NFL, hosting the survivors from Wild Card Weekend, and a third day in a row with football, and that'll be the Tigers of LSU, the defending champion Clemson Tigers in the national championship on Monday the 13th. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Love it if you'd check out my NFL wildcard weekend preview of sorts. It was a twist on what you generally get as a preview, someone telling you who's going to win and the key matchups, la, la, la. I actually went a different direction with my preview and looked at some of the similarities between seeds across the board. The sixes, the fives, the fours, the threes who are playing this weekend, they actually have something in common from conference to conference. And while no two paths to the playoffs are the same, I thought the ties among the seeds were pretty interesting. So you can check that out on Twitter or Facebook. And away we go into Wild Card Weekend. It's cool to have football on Saturday and Sunday to look forward to. We're asking you which game you're most excited about. And we've had this poll up now for a day, well, for about 24 hours. And overwhelmingly still, it's the Patriots hosting the Titans. There is that element. And the Patriots, you know, you've reached rarefied territory when you've got just as many fans who tune in to root for you to lose as you have fans who tune in and want you to win. They've made four of the last five Super Bowls. They've done it a variety of ways. You cannot count them out until that final. There's no horn until the final seconds tick off the clock. Just saying. You dismiss the Patriots at your own peril. Let's talk to Larry, who's listening in Cleveland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Happy New Year. How you doing, Amy?
I'm good, thanks. Happy New Year to you.
Regarding the Cleveland Browns' search right now, which is kind of insane, because basically the ball dropped on out here in Cleveland when I mentioned that Mr. Dorsey was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I listened to the press conference of Mr. Haslam, and usually he mentioned about the searches. Usually your GM is looking for your coach. Now he mentioned just the opposite.
Right.
For the coach looking for his own GM, which I kind of, you know, question. But if you had a choice right now, Amy, between Coach McCartney and you have Elliot Wolf, Wolf's son there, he'll probably be an excellent GM, I think. And he should have the opportunity. And you have a lot of the players or coaches in place, too, where Mr. Dorsey left. Or do you go after Josh McDaniels from New England? Which one would you prefer as your choice?
I think Mike McCarthy, again, because I believe that what the Browns need is someone who's got an established track record. And I'm not saying that Josh McDaniels can't command a room. And certainly he had a couple of years in Denver. No doubt he's a better coach, probably a better leader and manager, maybe even a better communicator. Let's hope he put the ego aside a bit. There was the element in which he was kind of competing with players there in Denver. It was a lot of butting heads, but that happens sometimes when you're a brand new head coach. Josh McDaniels has got a lot to offer. There is some talk that because of where he comes from and the organization with the Patriots and their structure, where Bill Belichick generally is in charge of personnel moves as well as coaching, that that's what Josh McDaniels will require. And maybe Jimmy Haslam is prepared to give that to him, though they also have a guy that they like in Paul DePodesta, who's in charge of analytics. So I don't know. We'll see. That the structure question marks, they kind of confuse me as well, as you talk about. Mike McCarthy is definitely a guy who's going to want to be involved in personnel decisions himself. And he had some of that leeway in Green Bay. The other thing that annoys me, or at least it sticks out to me, is that McDaniels left the Colts high and dry. And that just, that doesn't sit well. And so I think Mike McCarthy probably would be the guy that I would offer the job to, but I'm not Jimmy Haslam.
You mentioned this question, and I'll let you go. Okay, I'm going to come back and hit you with a question. How come in Green Bay, where I just, LaFleur, the coach now, is getting most of the players in Green Bay, where mostly Coach McCartney's players he left is most there right now? And Josh McDaniels, could he be the heir to Coach Belichick maybe once he's gone?
Well, he could be, but who has any idea when Bill Belichick is retiring? And I don't know that that's been guaranteed. Now, maybe if he tries to leave again, Bob Kraft ups the ante and puts more chips in the middle of the table. But those are conversations that we're not really privy to. Definitely, they gave a major incentive to leave the Colts stranded at the altar. As for Mike McCarthy and the difference with Matt LaFleur, I mean, sometimes it's intangibles. Sometimes it is about having a fresh voice, having a new style of leadership. Just something, after a while, after 13 years, one voice can get stale. And while McCarthy has made it very evident that he's willing to adjust and kind of grow with the times, and he's been working on this the last year, if you've got a lot of guys in place who've listened to him for a long time, I mean, I can understand why a fresh start is necessary. But let's also keep in mind that they have they've got some new guys in place there too. The acquisitions of Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith have really changed that defense a lot. And I like the commitment too to running the ball. I feel like they've got more balance, which also contributes to their success this season. Are they a perfect team? Absolutely not. They've got some flaws. I think that there's a rejuvenation with the organization, though, too, and that helps. Not necessarily Mike McCarthy's fault, but change is not a bad thing, especially after a coach has been in place for more than a decade. Thanks for your phone call, Larry. Good to talk to you in Cleveland. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Mike is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Amy. Hey, you're great to listen to. You're very knowledgeable and extremely insightful. And I don't know how you stay so peppy at those weird hours.
It's fake. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. It's my personality.
When I'm not sleeping, I like listening to your show. Hey, you were talking about the Dallas Cowboys with Jerry Jones and the coaching and stuff. I don't know if you're old enough to remember. You're probably only no more than 26 or 29, my guess.
Yeah, that.
But anyway, like when they had Jimmy Johnson 26. Coaching,
yeah,
over there, I guess they were always at each other's. It was always in conflict between the Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson, as far as Jerry Jones was interfering with Jimmy Johnson's coaching.
Right.
And then like they had that Super Bowl run with Jimmy Johnson, and then he left there because I guess he wasn't comfortable coaching there with Jerry Jones interfering all the time. So then he went to Miami Dolphins, and he stated that if he can't make them a champion football team in 3 years, then he's going to leave. So he coached there for so many years, and then it didn't happen, and he left, and he went to Fox broadcasting there.
Yeah, I definitely think in terms of personality, that's important with Jerry Jones. And that's just the situation that we're talking about right now. But you've seen how personality conflicts have ended coaching tenures. If you're going to have a peeing contest with someone in your own company, inside your own business, your corporation, well, then you better be higher up on the totem pole. Think about what happened in San Francisco, Trent Baalke versus Jim Harbaugh. And eventually Harbaugh was ousted because the two guys butt heads. There was friction all the time. And Baalke was higher up the food chain. I mean, it happens a lot where coach and general manager or coach and president or really any type of conflict between two employees can get one of them ousted. So I do think it's important, especially when you consider that Jerry Jones is extremely involved. He makes all of these personnel decisions along with his son. And so it needs to be someone who can get along with him, or it's probably not likely to last. I mean, that's the reality of the situation.
Right. Now, unless you find somebody who gets on the same wavelength, because I guess like Jimmy Johnson and Jones, they used to play together in college football, from my understanding.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, relationships, they could start out like a house on fire. There can be kind of a pre-existing tie there, but you've got to be able to work together in a high-stress environment and communicate. And eventually, if there's not that baseline, if there's not that respect, and if it's constant clashing, it's going to have a negative effect. Now, two alpha males can certainly coexist, but it's got to be a person in Dallas who is willing to work with Jones, because Jones is not going to take a step back. That's not going to happen. This is his team, and he's also the general manager. So we'll see. Mike, thanks so much. I'm going to let you go, but I appreciate your phone call. Happy New Year. Have a great weekend. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Even as we get ready to end the show, do you want to know what I'm thinking about? This is the God's honest truth. Whatever is crawling around in my attic, I'm not sure I want to go home. So yesterday morning, I got home. I'm exhausted because of the family leaving and being out of my regular schedule, whatever. And I'm in the office. I walk around when I brush my teeth, so I don't stay in the bathroom. So I'm walking around, and I'm brushing my teeth, and I'm all excited to go to bed once I get my dog walk done. And I start hearing the scurrying of feet above me on the ceiling. I have an attic. It's not an inhabitable attic. There are a few suitcases, my Christmas decorations. They usually are up there. Right now, they're all over my house. I don't think I'm going to be putting them back until maybe July when these scurrying feet stop. But I'm hearing this. It almost seems like there's something up there digging. A bunch of footsteps all over and digging. What sounds like digging. I don't know what's up there, but it can't be mice. I mean, I've had mice before. My cat loves it when we have mice because she tortures them. But it was the footsteps were too heavy to be mice. I don't know if it was a squirrel or a raccoon, but it freaked me out. There was something running all over my attic yesterday morning. And so I text my brother because he's awake early. I'm like, Matt, there's something running around my attic. What do I do? And he's like, oh yeah, I heard that when I was at your house. I forgot to tell you. Great. Thanks, bro. Anyway, I called my property manager. She said she would send pest control. It didn't happen. So now I'm strongly considering just moving out and leaving whatever's up there in the attic to take free reign. Ah! Responsibilities. I'd rather just watch football. Have a great weekend. We're back Sunday night, After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.